Good morning. This is Becky Speet, direct sales specialist and a Christian direct seller, and I want to welcome all of you to our call this morning. We've got just a full line today. Thank you so much for sharing the word, because we can then, of course, unite together. And there's something about the power of prayer when we all unite together. The Lord just loves that. So I get tickled to death that I can be here and be here with you, and we can join before the Lord in prayer. I'm going to open in prayer real quick this morning, and then we're going to jump into our Bible study. Father God, I just thank you so much for your love, and I thank you just for being our God. Lord, I just pray that you will speak through my mouth of clay, Lord, and that you would give me supernatural wisdom and recall of your word, Lord, and that you will help just our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our heart to receive what you would have for us this morning. We thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest and that you do just love to bless us. We love you, Father God, and we just want to bless you and give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's topic is increasing your harvest. I love the month of October. It always reminded me of, we had our county fair that was always the last week of September, the first week of October. There were always the fresh apples and pumpkins and all the great things about fall, and it was getting cooler at night, and you could do bonfires, and a lot of times we would wait until we've harvested off the corn, and then we would go back into the back of the field and kind of by the woods, and we would have bonfires and hay rides, and it was just such a great time. I love the time of harvest. And another reason why I love the time of harvest is because it's kind of like the payday for all your hard work. And the Lord wants to bless us abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. And so for me, I love the thoughts of increasing our harvest. And, you know, there's so many different things in the Word about harvest. You know, there's seed, time, and harvest. There's talks about how the harvest can be stolen, you know, if we're not tithing. And what that means is we give 10% of our increase, and we do it first from whatever we receive in. And we put that to the storehouse. That's the church where you get your spiritual food. So there's, you know, talks about that. There's talks about, you know, planting the seeds, and that the Lord says that the word is the seed and that we are the soil, and there's all kinds of different things. And I love to garden as well, but I think it's so much fun. I really don't honestly love to pull the weeds and to get out there and with the hoe or the rototiller. That's not my favorite part. I love getting the ground all ready and planting. I love watching things pop up out of the ground. I love going in and harvesting, and I love canning. I love putting away what you've been able to harvest as a fruit of your labor. And this is that time where we get to celebrate that. So let me ask you, especially with your business, what did you plant this summer, and are you receiving the harvest for it right now? Well, of course you are. It might not be the harvest you intended, but it's probably the harvest you planted. We are truly a culmination of the words we've spoken and the activities we've done in the past, or maybe what we didn't do. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is an illustration or a story about this. You know, it's kind of like preparing a beautiful garden at your house is what your business is like, right? And we want to, let's just say, plant carrots. So we dig the garden all out. We make it nice. We get our seeds, and then we put them down on the side. We decide, okay, well, we're going to need to dig up all the weeds. So we say to ourselves, you know what? I'm not going to let any weeds get into this garden. So we put a fence around it, and we won't let anyone go there. We won't let the rabbits come in or anything. We won't let the wind blow any bad seeds into it, and we make sure that there are no weeds around whatsoever. We do everything possible to keep out every negative thing. And don't we do that a lot of times with our business? We make sure that we keep out all the negativity. However, a year later, we come back, and we look at our garden, and we wonder where there still are no carrots. We've been tending this. We've made sure that we didn't put any negative words in. We made sure that we didn't do anything negative that would influence our business. But you know what the key thing was? We didn't plant any carrots. We put the seeds over to the side. And that's what can happen sometimes with our own life or our business. Some of us think, well, you know what, we've just been serving God all this time, and we've just, you know, done such a good job. We've been so faithful not to let any negativity in. We've, you know, done everything that we're supposed to do. However, what we have happen is we've got a serious problem because we've never planted the seeds that we wanted to grow. So maybe with your business or your life, you need to increase your harvest just by simply planting the right seeds. You know, our words are like those seeds, and every word we speak and every action that we do is a seed planted, and it's caring and taking care of that garden. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." So let me ask you, what seeds did you plant this summer for your harvest? Did you plant seeds for bookings? Did you stay active and work in your business or work in your garden? Did you start saying the positive words, start planting the seeds for people, keep your momentum going this summer? Let me ask you, what seeds are you planting right now for this winter? Because we know that we don't just plant a seed and immediately it pops up, right? We know that we have seed, then what's the next part? Time, and then harvest. It's not seed time, it's seed, time, and harvest. So the seeds you're planting right now will be the harvest that you're going to have this winter, come December or January. I know it's kind of hard to think about that right now, thinking about being in the middle of winter when we're just starting to enjoy, many of us, an Indian summer, or we're just starting to go into that harvest time. But we have to be mindful of the seeds that we're planting. You know, sometimes it's not even that we're not just, you know, planting the right seeds, but we have to watch our words against speaking negative words. But for many of us, that's not even an issue. It's that we're not speaking the word of God. Remember that I said was the seed? And the words of life over and into our lives and businesses. We have to say positive things in negative situations. Now, I don't want anybody to just shout out right now that, oh, it's me, but how many of us have ever said in our business, I can't get any bookings. No one wants to have a show. No one wants to join my business. No one's joining the business. The economy's so bad, nobody's buying anything. Is that the truth? No, it's not the truth. I can tell you I know many, many people who are making more money than they've ever made. I can tell you people that are promoting up in their companies and their units and their teams are having more parties and more shows than they've ever had. But we have to speak life into our business. We have to speak positivity. We have to speak the word of God. If we speak positive things into our circumstances, God is going to anoint our abilities and anoint our resources. It tells us in James 1, 6, and 7, let him ask of faith, for not that man supposed that without faith he'll receive anything from the Lord. Did you know that God cannot do more for us than our words of faith allow him to do? Because he will not act if there's no faith involved. That just told us that in James 1, 6, and 7. And it also tells us in the word that faith without works is dead. Does that mean that we have to work ourselves to death? Absolutely not. But it does indicate that the first work that we need to do around faith is we need to speak the word. You can't just think them. Thinking isn't an action. And how do we increase our faith? Because we see now that the faith is such an important part of this, because this is how God works on our behalf. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we need to read it aloud to ourselves, because it doesn't say faith comes by thinking the word of God. And how many of us read silently? We need to read out loud, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now let's look at another example of harvest, or maybe the lack thereof. Mark 11, 12 through 21. This is the story of the fig tree, okay? And here in this story, It talks a little bit. Hang on, I want to make sure that I've got my place. I lost my place. I looked away from my notes. In here, it talks about Jesus, okay? And what happens sometimes is we speak things, and what we speak about grows, okay? So if we speak about the mountain, it's going to grow. I'm sorry. If we speak about the mountain, it's going to grow. What's the mountain in our life? Well, that's whatever issue it is, or problem, or circumstance, right? But if we speak to the mountain, the word of God, it will go. And a perfect example of this is when Jesus was, he was coming back from Bethany, or maybe he was going to Bethany, and it was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Let me just tell you the story, because I typed it out last night. In Mark 11:12, it says, the next day when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Okay, so he was coming from Bethany, right? He was heading back into Jerusalem. Now, Bethany is on the east side of Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And when people walked from Bethany to Jerusalem, they went over the Mount of Olives, down the other side, through the Kidron Valley, and up into Jerusalem. And Jesus walked from Bethany to Jerusalem all the time. Because one of his best friends was there, Lazarus. Remember, he raised him from the dead, Mary and Martha's brother. Okay, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, this was also, remember, that's where he was praying, right, when they before the crucifixion, when they came and arrested him. So this was like one of his favorite places. He spent so many hours in prayer there. But on his way, he saw a fig tree, and it had leaves on it. And at that time of year, if a fig tree had leaves on it, it would also have figs on it. So he thought, you know, there should be figs on the tree. Verse 13 says, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And remember, he was already hungry. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now, he could not have whispered that statement, otherwise his disciples would not have been able to hear it, right? Everybody heard it. Neither did he think it, right? He must have said it loud enough that all of his disciples could hear it. Again, I want you to make sure that it's not enough just to think the word of God or to think our words. We've got to say them out loud. Okay? Now, Jesus came to Jerusalem in verse 15, and when evening had come, he went out of the city. Jesus was returning back to Bethany. He was done with what he was doing, and he was coming back to Bethany. You know, he started out that morning. He was probably staying at Lazarus' house, so he went in for a day trip into Jerusalem, and he decided to come back. And it tells us in Mark 11:20, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig trees dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed yesterday has withered away. Now, Peter said that Jesus cursed the fig tree, when all he had said to the tree was, let no man eat from your fruit again. Jesus didn't say, Peter, don't accuse me of cursing this tree. I just spoke to the tree. Jesus did not defend himself. Instead, he agreed. Jesus cursed the tree intentionally because it was, listen to this, a non-productive tree. It was supposed to have been bearing fruit, and it wasn't. We can see that this great truth comes from Peter's statement, because anything negative I ever say is a curse, until according to the Bible. So the thing is Peter even noticed? Boy, Jesus, you know, he said a curse. He spoke something negative. Now, did he speak hateful and awful and was just like beaten up on the tree? No, he just said the words. We've got to be really careful of a couple of things in this story, of the words we speak over our life and our business. And we also know that we are to be productive. Why was Jesus upset, or why was he saying these things to this tree? Because with the leaves on it, it knew it was brought to that point of maturity. It wasn't a brand new seedling. It was brought to the point of maturity where it should be productive and bringing forth fruit. Are you bringing forth fruit in your business? Are you productive in doing the things that you're supposed to do? That's another key to increasing your harvest. Another thing that I want to encourage you to do is make sure that you are not the one, or and you don't allow other people to speak curses over your business. You're never going to be successful. Why do you think that you could be successful at this business? You don't even know how to sell anything. Have you heard these things? Maybe coming out of your own mouth or your own ears, your own head? Are you thinking these things? Are you allowing others to speak this over your business? Or are you speaking things that will bless your business? So right now, in the name of Jesus, I break all the curses spoken over everyone's businesses that are here on this call today. Or listening to this recording. I break all the curses in Jesus' name that have ever been spoken over any of these men and women in their lives. You know, another thing I wanted to talk about around harvesting, especially while we're talking about words, is if you're harvesting fear. You know, Satan understands the power of our words. He understands them. He also understands the power of negative confessions and what we say. He's tried to program the unsaved world to speak negatively all the time. I mean, just look around us. There's negativity everywhere. A lot of us are drawn to the direct selling profession or to being an entrepreneur because we don't like the negativity. This has happened to me several times, and I'm sure that you've experienced the very same thing, that somebody, you call in to try to get, you know, help or support, or you ask if someone's there to speak to them, and then what do they say? Oh, I'm afraid they're not in. Can you imagine what they, I mean, if they said that over and over and over, I'm afraid they're not in. I'm afraid they're not in. I'm afraid I can't get bookings. I'm afraid no one wants to set any dates. I'm afraid no one wants to join our business. What are we saying? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And we know, truly, that they're not sitting there in fear. But the point is that people will say this or confess their fears about without even realizing it. How many times have you said something and realized, oh, I never should have said that. That was really bad. This is a good one. I'm starving to death. How many times do we say that when we're just a little hungry? I'm sure none of us have missed very many meals. We're not starving to death. But then we wonder why there's more scarcity showing up in our life over and over again. But what happens is through sayings or things that we just get, we don't even know where we pick them up, those seeds are planted in our life. And then pretty soon, we find that we're talking about more fears and more fears. We say, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid I can't come, I'm afraid that I should have come, I'm afraid that you didn't come, I'm afraid until what happens? We've lost all of our courage. We are nervous and we're doubtful. And that's not what God has for us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. So if you find yourself saying that, combat it with a scripture that you can say out loud right away. You know, Mark 9:37 and Luke 10:2 say, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I know all of us want to be in his harvest. We want a harvest for the Lord. We have this great ability to do this and opportunity through our direct selling business where people will come to us or invite us into their homes or invite us into their relationships and their circle of influence. But we must be mindful. And I can tell you there are many, many more laborers waiting for your touch, waiting for you. But you've got to plant the seeds. You've got to be a faithful laborer. Proverbs 10:5 says, he who gathers in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. So wake up. You guys are in the harvest season. We're in the harvest season. We're not going to sleep this away. We are not going to be filled with fear. We are going to be filled with faith because a lot of people think the opposite of fear is courage. It's not. It's faith. Knowing that the Lord is going to work in and through us to do things that we could never even imagine. So if you think to yourself, you know, it's impossible, I want you to think Luke 18:27 says all things are possible. If you think it's not worth it to get on the phone today, Romans 8:28 says it will be worth it. If you feel overwhelmed, like you can't manage, all you have to remember is Philippians 4:19 says, I'll supply all your needs. if you're worried or you're frustrated, the Lord tells us to cast all our cares upon Him, according to 1 Peter 5:7. And if you feel, you know what, I don't have enough faith, hold fast to Romans 12:3 that says, I've given everyone a measure of faith. Well, I hope that you have a bountiful harvest, that you are mindful now to plant the seeds that will bring your harvest to come to fruition between now and the spring. You know, many of us would plant winter wheat. As soon as we would harvest one crop, we would plant another. So know that right now you can be planting different seeds, but whatever seed you plant, you will get. We can't plant watermelon seeds and expect an orange tree to grow, can we? No, that doesn't make sense. But the cool thing about if we take one kernel of corn and we plant that as a seed, what happens when we have our harvest? We have stalks that many times have more than one ear of corn on it, and each ear of corn has hundreds of new seeds, as well as a great harvest to enjoy. So look at what seeds you need to be planting right now with your business. Know that if you speak courage and faith into your business, you will receive that. Your harvest is waiting. God is waiting for you to be the laborer for His harvest, and He wants to bless you while you do it. I hope you have a great increase in harvest. Does anybody else have any prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you so much for this amazing message about how much you love us and how much you want to give us increase, that you are not the God of lack. You are not the person that wants to take away from us, but you want to add abundantly to us, that you are the God of multiplication. You tell us in your word time and time again that they are blessed threefold, sixfold, a hundredfold. Lord, that's what we're counting on, is we want to be faithful laborers. Forgive us if we have not planted or if we have been slothful, Lord. Forgive us for not stepping up to the plate and doing the work that you've asked. Forgive us for not planting the seeds when we should have. But, Lord, we know that we don't have to stay in guilt or condemnation because that's not from you. But today's a new day. We can start planting those seeds. We can have a harvest. We can have a short-term harvest and a long-term harvest, depending on the seeds that we're planting now. Give wisdom and direction to each person listening to this recording, Father God. Bless them abundantly more than they could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. And, Father God, I do just lift Eddie up to you right now, Linda's cousin, Lord, and I just pray that you would bring him peace, that you would bring healing to his body. We command every cell in the name of Jesus to start functioning properly. We curse you, cancer, in the name of Jesus. You must die at the root and leave his body now. His bones are being strengthened according to your word. Lord, the cancer is leaving now, and his family is faith-filled, not speaking one word of doubt, but standing in faith. Yes. And Father God, I just pray for courage for Linda, but even more so than courage, for faith and favor to go out before her. We cast out the spirits of doubt and disbelief in the name of Jesus, because we know those are not from you, Father God. We ask that you would help boldness to rise up in her, and Holy Spirit, speak in and through her. Let her not listen to the lies of the enemy, but that she will listen to the word of God, because that is where truth is. We know all circumstances are changeable, but your word is not, and it will not come back void. Lord, we love you, and I pray a blessing on everyone's business, Lord. I pray that the harvest is magnified and multiplied even now, Lord, as if it were the boy, Lord, with the five loaves and the two fish, Lord. I just pray now that it would continue to multiply and multiply and multiply, that they would have excess and abundance, and they would be sharing so much with people all around them. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for this. Lord, we just bless you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Take care, and I will talk to you next week. Make sure that you go ahead and pass this information about the Bible study and prayer time with others, and know that I'll be praying for you throughout the week. God bless you. Bye-bye.